I'm reminded of the words, "Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There is no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way." And I don't know if there's anyone here, anyone watching, that you haven't found your way yet, but turn to the Gentle Shepherd. He can help. Verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." In studying this, I was made aware that this is implying a public worship. And the first thought that immediately comes to mind is worshiping God in church. There's nothing like coming to church in an atmosphere where God sends his sweet presence, his spirit, and people are worshiping him in however way they choose to do so. And I found this to be true. When I'm praising God, he's blessing me with a sweet sense of his spirit. And when I leave that place, I feel like there's something he's done for me, not the other way around. Does that make sense? Sometimes we get the idea that praising God is something we have to do, and it's a chore, but when you do it, you realize, oh, it's something he did for me. And understand that I'm not about to tell you how to worship God. I'm not about to tell you how to praise him, because that's for him to tell you. But do something you're not comfortable doing sometime. Praise him, give a testimony, maybe sing a little louder, I don't know. But I guarantee you, if you do something a little bit out of your comfort zone to praise God, you'll find a blessing for doing it, and you'll find that you are more blessed than you thought you were going to bless God. So let's not give the impression we're ashamed of him. The second phrase in verse 4, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Let the praise be in your heart as well as on your tongue, and let it be for him to whom it all belongs. And bless his name, he blessed you. Bless him in return. Bless his name, his character, his person. Whatever he does, be sure that you bless him. Bless him when he takes away as well as when he gives. Bless him as long as you live under all circumstances." Do you like it when someone says something nice to you? Says something nice about you? That's what a blessing is. When someone says something nice about you or to you, they are giving you a blessing. Whatever we say about God, it has to be good. We might not understand why things happen, and you know, many times we don't. But we know that God knows what's best for us. So no matter what, no matter when, we can bless him. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. You're rich in love. You're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my soul to find. To bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. I worship your holy name. And then verse 5, "For the Lord is good." Probably everybody here has sung and heard it sung many times, that little chorus, "God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me." And all of the phrases you can put in it, "He answers prayer," and "He cares for me," "I love him so," "I'll do his will," "He's coming soon," you know, all of those. The very nature of God is goodness. We as humans are born with a sin nature, and with God's help we can become good. But God always has been and always will be good. And sometimes I think that term good, that's just not adequate enough to describe God. Can we come up with a better word? Because good, that's just too simple. But yet God himself used the word good to describe the things he made. Can we use other words? Let's try awesome. Well, there are other things that are awesome. And even evil can be awesome in a frightening way. Powerful? Well, Satan's powerful too. Amazing? There's other things that are amazing. But can we truly use the word good to really describe anything but God? Inherently, completely, and without flaw, completely good. There's no bad in him. It's only good qualities. And he alone can exemplify good. His mercy is everlasting. If you're familiar with Psalms 136, the first verse says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." And every single verse after that is finished with, "His mercy endures forever." I remember as a kid when my dad would read that, like, wow, that's an easy chapter to memorize. It's all the same. And kind of would think it was funny. But the psalmist was trying to make a point. Everything that is and continues to be is only because of God's mercy. His mercy is forever. Then shouldn't we be always ready to give him praise? Should we get tired of giving him praise when his mercy goes on for eternity? Everyone here is a recipient of his mercy. Don't tell me you're not. Do you think he might be worthy of our praise because of his mercy? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. And that songwriter got it right. Because we should sing about his mercies forever and tell everyone down through the generations to pass it on that God's mercy is forever. And then the next phrase, and his truth endures for all generations. And I appreciate what you said, Brian, the truth of God's word. It is accurate. It is trustworthy. God's word is truth. The truth that Jesus came to die for us. The truth that he loves us. The truth that he prepared a heaven for us to go to if we serve him. The truth that is true, the only truth, isn't going to change for generations. If there's a truth that you know that is constantly changing, and that's not the truth. This truth that Jesus Christ gave us in his word, it's going to endure forever and ever. And we need to praise him for it, exemplify it, tell others about it. I don't know how many of you, and I'm sure most of you have, read the story, watched the movie, know the song, everything about John Newton and the song he wrote, Amazing Grace. But to hear the man write a song called Amazing Grace, what a testimony. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've just begun. I don't know if that means anything to you, but that means we will never run out of days to sing God's praise when we get to heaven. Start practicing now. That song was one of my grandpa's favorites. He would have my brothers and I sing that for him, especially towards the end of his life. I want to read something to you in conclusion. And I would like some of you, or somebody, to guess who wrote it. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Whereas both the Houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them with an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that is good and that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection for the people of this country. Who wrote that?
Abraham Lincoln.
George Washington. If we would only have leaders today that would say, it's time to praise God for what he's done. And I want to challenge you as a church, it's time to praise him. It's time to praise him for what he's done. Things look bleak in our world, I know that, but we need to praise him. Thanksgiving shouldn't just occur once a year, and unfortunately at Thanksgiving time, suddenly we remember, oh yeah, we have to praise God. But that shouldn't be the way it is. We need to give thanks to our Heavenly Father who has showered us with so many blessings and benefits. We couldn't even begin to name them all. That concludes my message for today, and as is our tradition, to have Thanksgiving communion, we're going to enter into that at this time. So those of you that I've asked to help serve, if you would just please come forward and just sit here behind Isaiah. I would have Isaiah help, but he has a little bit of a cough, so I don't think you want him coughing over your communion bread and grape juice. The reason I am using young people and children in this, you're a young person, Adeline, still? I think so. I still think you are. We need to praise God for our youth and our young people. That is, they are a vital part of our church. And while this may not feel sacred as what maybe you're used to, I want to make it sacred because God has blessed us with youth, and they're a blessing to us. So it may not look quite as professional. It may not look the same as what you're used to, but I want to use our children and young people and make everyone know that I love them, and I hope you do too. So Jordan and Taylor, Mackenzie and Josiah, you come up to start. And just, let's see. I'm going to turn this off so I can give him instructions. Communion is a time that we recognize what Jesus has done for us on the cross and typically done at Easter, but at Thanksgiving time, that is the thing we should be thankful for the most. And so I wanted to pause and give thanks for the fact that Jesus sacrificed his body for us, and we'll never understand that. I'll never comprehend it, why Jesus would do that for me. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I'd do it for you. I mean, humanly, I don't know that any of us would. But Jesus did, and that's pretty crazy to think about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the sacrifice that you paid for us. And even though we can't comprehend it humanly, we know that we are incredibly, incredibly blessed by the sacrifice you paid by offering yourself physically on the cross to die for us. And we praise you that you took our sins on your body, and by your stripes we were healed. We thank you and praise you for this. In your name, amen. When you're all served, then, I will let you know when you can partake. That's good.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will bow before his throne.
when Jesus was with his disciples, he gave thanks, and he broke the bread, and he blessed it. And I want to do the same this time. I did already pray over the bread, and so you can take now and partake and just quietly reminisce and give praise to God for what he's done for us. Seated, I'm going to go ahead and have them pass this out first, and then I will have prayer before we partake of it. Go ahead.
This is the day.
Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood that was spilled." And that's something, you know what? I don't have this one. That's something that we can't grasp, that blood does that. But Jesus' blood was amazing and special and just so sacred. And I'm thankful that he shed his blood for us. I'm eternally grateful for that. So let's have prayer now. Lord, we praise you for your blood that you shed for us. We think of the song, "Love can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus." We think of songs like, "Oh, the blood," and just the incredible power there is in the blood of your sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Help us to never grow weary of praising you for it. We thank you. In your name. You can now partake. All right, guys, you can take your trays and go back and pray. We're going to sing the doxology in closing. You stand with me and we'll have a closing word of prayer. Again, we praise you, Lord, for what you've done. Help us to never cease giving praise through our actions, our lives, our testimonies, showing others what you have done for us. Would you bless each person here today? Would you help them to go out and show others what you've done for them through their testimonies and actions and lives, and just help us to be that blessing to someone else. We praise your name and we thank you. In your name. Amen.